Today's shiur is Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Tes. We will begin on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Resh Lakish Ikel LeBatzra. Resh Lakish came to the city of Batzra. And as becomes clear in the Gemara, Resh Lakish mistakenly thought that Batzra is part of Eretz Yisrael. And Chaz Yisrael the Ka'achli Peri, and he saw that there were Jews eating produce that Maisa wasn't taken from them. And he told them, you have no right to eat these fruits without having Chumas and Maisas removed. Furthermore, the Gemara is going to explain everything as we get into the shir. Chazam Mayu, the Sagdi law of the Kachavim, he saw water that was worshipped by the Akam, the Shasa Yisrael, and Jews were drinking that water. Vasaluhu. And he again said that water may not be drinking. Asla Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. He came to Rabbi Yochanan and reported to Rabbi Yochanan what had happened. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan tells him, Ad the Mikdarach, while you're still wearing your coat, Ad the Mikdarach Alach, while you're still wearing your coat, Zil Hadar. Go back quickly and correct what you said. Taisus explains that since Resh Lakish made a mistake, it's his obligation and his responsibility to notify those people that he told us wrong, this psak too, that he made a mistake. However, Tosfos says, we are not to understand the Gemara that Resh Lakish would be held financially responsible for this wrong decision, because we learned the Gemara beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin, that if a dayan is a mumcha l'rabim, even if he makes an incorrect psak, he's not held personally responsible and financially responsible. But he does have obligation to correct any mistakes he make. What were his mistakes? Betzer lav hana batzra. Betzer, which the Torah does say is a part of Eretz Yisrael. In fact, Betzer is one of the Ari Miklot, the Torah tells us, is part of Eretz Yisrael. But Betzer and Batzra are not one and the same. Batzra, the Rishonim explained, is an Eretz Moav, which is not part of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, there's no chiyuv to take off Trumas and Maisers. Tosfos and other Rishonim raise a very important issue. We've learned in many sugyas and shas that there is an obligation to take off Trumas and Maisers, even from produce that grows in Chutz Laaretz. So even if Rabbi Yochanan is correct that Batzra is not in Chutz Laaretz, the Batzra is not in Eretz Yisrael, it's in Chutz Laaretz, we learned that you have to take off Trumas and Maisers from produce that grows in Chutz Laaretz. So why was Resh Lakish wrong? So I saw many answers in the Rishonim to this question. One answer is that the chiyuv to take off Trumas and Maisers in Chutz Laaretz was only a minig. Not every place accepted the minig. Another pshat that I saw is that the only produce that there's a chiyuv to take off Trumas and Maisers in Eretz Yisrael in Chutz Laaretz is such produce that has a chiyuv d'orais in Eretz Yisrael, which is Dagon Tirish V'Yitzer. Anything else which only has a chiyuv d'rabbanon in Eretz Yisrael has no chiyuv in Chutz Laaretz. Similar teretz, is that grain, fruits, there are situations where there's a chiyuv d'orais to take off Trumas and Maisers. Vegetables, there is never a chiyuv d'orais to take Trumas and Maisers, and therefore vegetables in Chutz Laaretz are exempt, and this was referring to vegetables. Another teretz that I saw is that we've learned many times the concept of demai. And demai is suffix, where we have a question if Trumas and Maisers were removed. It could well be that there's a chiyuv of Trumas and Maisers even in Chutz Laaretz, but demai, that special Gzeiros Chazal, doesn't apply in Chutz Laaretz, and what Resh Lakish was referring to was demai. Another pshat that I saw is that it's only those countries in Chutz Laaretz that are close to Eretz Yisrael where there's a chiyuv to take off Trumas and Maisers, because they were frequently traveling between those countries. But Batzra apparently was a place that they didn't frequently travel to, so there wasn't, Chazal did not have a concern that they would get mixed up, not take Trumas and Maisers. There's no chiyuv Trumas and Maisers. One last teretz, there are many teretzim to this question. One last teretz, interesting teretz. Only such produce that grows in Eretz Yisrael is there also a chiyuv to take off Trumas and Maisers in Chutz Laaretz. Again, Why? Because Chazal were concerned if you're not going to take off in Chutz Laretz, they're going to forget, and even in Eretz Yisrael, not take off the Trumas and Maisris. But such produce that doesn't grow in Eretz Yisrael, types of fruits and vegetables that don't grow in Eretz Yisrael, and only grow in Chutz Laretz, there is no concern for this confusion, and there's no Chiv Trumas and Maisris. And that was the kind of produce that Rav Shlakish encountered in Batzra. Furthermore, the question that the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam, discusses is, given that we know that nowadays no one in Chutz Laretz, nowhere in Chutz Laretz does anybody take off Trumas and Maisris. So according to some of the Terutzim that we just gave, it's understandable. But according to some of the Terutzim, it's not understandable. Why is there nowhere in Chutz Laretz where Trumas and Maisris is taken off? So he says a very interesting approach. He says that since in all countries in the world, a person who owns property really isn't a sole proprietor, because he has a partner. His partner is the government, because he has to pay property tax. There is no, and the government can evict you from your property. So therefore, the ownership, the Jewish ownership of any of these properties is somewhat of a limited type of ownership. Coupled with all of the terutzim that we've just given, there's no chiv to take off Trumas and Maisris in Chutz Laretz. Furthermore, what you said about the Mayim Shel Rabim, this Mayim that was worshipped, ain't an asar. They don't become asar just because they were worshipped. Why? Rabbi Yochanan L'Tameh, Dama Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Mishim Yatzadik, Tosfos points out, from our Gemara it seems that Rabbi Shimon Yatzadik was Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe. In other places it seems that Rabbi Shimon Yatzadik was a contemporary or a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. So Rishonim say that very possibly were two Rav Shimon Bei Yatzadik. Mayim Shel Rabim Ein An Asarim. Water of the Rabim does not become Asar. And here too, there's a Machlokes in the Rishonim how to understand why Mayim Shel Rabim Ein An Asarim. One approach in the Rishonim is because since it's a Mayim Shel Rabim, it's not my private water, and therefore, as we've learned this concept so many times in our Shiurim, Ein Adam Oyser Davish Ein Shaloi. The chiddush with that is, however, that we've learned that even though the halacha is Ein Adam Oyser Davish Ein Shaloi, if you do a maisa, if you remember the Gemara we learned about the animal, that if an animal it doesn't belong to someone, but somebody does an act in that animal of turning it into an avodah zara, then it does become Oyser, even though it's not his animal. From our Gemara it seems that even in a case where somebody did a maisa, if it's Shel Rabim, the rule of Ein Adam Oyser Davish Ein Shaloi doesn't apply. That's one way of understanding the Gemara. Another way of understanding the Gemara that Rishonim suggests is as follows. You have a city. There are people that live in the city. You have a community. There are people living in a community. So everything that's in that community, everything that's in that city really belongs to all the members of that community. So do we look at it as I am perhaps an owner of this item because I live here? Teaches us the Gemara that just because you're a member of a community, you're a member of a city, doesn't mean that you're the owner of everything in the city that belongs to that city. It's no different than if you're a member of a shul. Doesn't mean you could come into the shul tomorrow and move the tables and do what you want, because I'm a member here, I'm a partner here. Here too, even though they're a member, it's asr. Hadi Yachid. If it belonged to Yachid, it would be Nasarim. So Tosfos right away asks, how is it possible for spring to belong to a Yachid? So Tosfos gives a number of options. One is that the person himself dug the mayon, or it's referring to a situation where the person owns the entire city. In a case where the person owns the entire city, then the mayon is his. And Tosfos uses these terutzim to actually answer a different question. Because Tosfos says that the Gemara teaches us in Masechet Baba Kama that when Klal Yisrael came into Israel, Yeshua made certain stipulations. And one of the stipulations he made was that every spring, everybody could take water from any spring, and nobody could say you're not allowed to take that water. So how do we ever have a Mayan Shel Yochid? It says Taisvis that if somebody dug the spring himself, or if somebody owns the entire city, then you could have a Mayan Shel Yochid. Chasam Sofer gives a different teretz. Interesting Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer says that this rule that Yeshua made applies not only in Eretz Yisrael, but applies in Chutz La'aretz too. However, he says there's a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, it applies both to Jews and non-Jews. Yeshua made a rule, every Mayan, everybody could take water. In Chutz La'aretz, the rule only applies to Jews, not to Chutz La'aretz, not to non-Jews. Obviously, our level of influence in Chutz La'aretz is much more limited. So according to Chassam Seif, it could be talking in Chutz La'aretz, and it's talking about Goyim. But typically, ask the Gemara, but a Mayon is Mechubar. A Mayon is attached to the ground. And we've learned so many times in Amas Sechta, Heyem ala Harim, V'lay Harim ala Heyem, that anything that's Mechubar can't become Avodah Zarah. So how does a Mayon ever become Avodah Zarah, even if it's owned by Yachid? Answers the Gemara, L'tzricha d'talshin gala. What happened was that the wave, he didn't worship the water as it's in the spring, he worshipped it as it's a wave separate. Asked the Gemara, fine. But now, if that's how we're explaining Rabbi Yochanan's statement, so then we should use this for Gemara that we learned in Daf Mem Vav. Let's quickly review. As I just said, a mountain can't become an Avodah Zarah. But the Gemara on Daf Mem Vav discussed the case of Avonei Har Shnedadlu. If stones of a mountain got dislodged, that could they become Avodah Zarah or not? And the Gemara, it was a long piece of Gemara, said it's actually a Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and the Bnei Reb Chiya. Chad Osir, one says they can become Avodah Zarah, and one says that they can't. But the Gemara didn't know who holds what. Based on what we're learning now, asked the Gemara, it should be a clear proof that it's Rabbi Yochanan who holds that the Avonei Har Shnedadlu Osir. Because the Gemara is saying that the case of Avonim Har Shnedadlu and a wave from the Mayon are exactly the same. So if our Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, is saying that a wave is Osir, it should be an indication that he is the one that holds that Avni Hash Nadablu are also. Soif, asked the Gemara, based on how we're explaining Rabbi Yochanan's position, this should be a clear indication that Avni Hash Nadablu Ninu, that it's similar to that case, and it will have a raya to stayim to Rabbi Yochanan, the Amas Suris, that he's the one that holds Avnei Hash Nadablu also. Says Gemara, no, it's not really comparable. It's referring to a situation where the Akum didn't just have the wave fly up. He was the one that, so to speak, separated the wave from the water. It's very different than Avnei Hash Nadablu. In the case of Avnei Hash Nadablu, they got dislodged by themselves. Here, where he caused the wave to separate, it's not necessarily the same situation. Says the Gemara, Rechiba Abi Iklil Gavla. He came to the city of Gavla. Here two of the Mefarshim discuss, is Gavla part of Eretz Yisrael or not? Most Mefarshim I saw are of the opinion that Gavla is part of Eretz Edoim. And it's sort of considered like Eretz Yisrael based on a pasuk that we say every day. Because we say every day, V'olam Hashin V'arseh Lishpat HaTzareisov. So we're going to take over Seir. Ultimately, Seir will be part of Eretz Yisrael. Others say it wasn't part of Eretz Yisrael proper, but it was conquered and treated like Eretz Yisrael. And he saw Benos Yisrael, the Ma'avrim Ma'av de Kechavim, that Jewish women had married and became pregnant from Akum that did Geirus, but only did part of the Geirus. Shemol of Leitavlu, we know that Geirus requires Mila and Tefila. They only had Mila, not Tefila. Mar's going to explain each case, so we'll get to it in a moment. Chazr Chamer the Mazga Av the Kechavim. He saw the wine that Akum had diluted the Shas Yisrael, and Jews were drinking that wine. Chazr Tormasa. Tormasa are beans. They are inedible unless they're extensively cooked. The Shalkalo Av the Kechavim, that the Av the Kechavim cooked, Vachli Yisrael, and then Jews ate from those beans. V'layom v'layom midi. And he didn't say anything when he saw these actions. Asla Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, he comes back to Rabbi Yochanan to report what he saw. Amalei and Rabbi Yochanan say, Tzei v'hachras al-b'neim shemem zeirim, announced that their children born from the geirim only had mila and not tefila amam zeirim. V'ayenam, that the akum diluted is osir because of yayin nesach. V'al turmasan, and say about their beans, v'shem b'shulei of the kechavim, that they're considered Beshel Akum. Mishum She'en B'nai Torah. The Mefarsha, the Achroinim, the Achroinim discusses this, the Arsameich discusses this. How to understand this statement of Shem She'ena B'nai Torah? Is what he was saying, She'ena B'nai Torah, a reason for all three psakim, for all three decisions Rabbi Yochanan rendered? That since these people aren't B'nai Torah, I have to be stricter? Or, that's how many Mefarshim learn, or is Meshim She'ena B'nai Torah strictly on the case of Bishul Akum, but not on the previous cases? Furthermore, the Chasam Sofer asks, we find many times the Chazal make gzeiros. But when Chazal make a gzeira, they make a gzeira that applies to all places. Here we find a very interesting gzeira. He says that the gzeira is only on the people of Gavla, because Ein B'nai Torah. And if the people in the next city will be Talmid Chachamim, then there will be Mutter. What kind of a gzeira is this? So the Chasam Sofer, and what pshat Ein B'nai Torah? Everybody has to, only Talmid Chacham, there are different rules. So he says a very interesting approach to this Gemara, the Chasam Sofer. He says, what is the problem with Sheinu B'nai Torah? It's not that they're not Talmid Chacham, not everybody's a Talmid Chacham. He says, they don't ask Shailas. They made this decision on their own without consulting with a Rav. Says the Chasam Sofer, that what Rabbi Yochanan wasn't speaking specifically to the city of Gavla. He was speaking to people. He's saying, if you will have an individual who's a Ein B'nai Torah, who makes decisions on his own, then for him, these rules apply. If you have a person that knows that before you do something, you have to ask a Shaila, that's a different situation. So now the Gemara analyzes each thing, each rule that Rabbi Yochanan said. Al B'nai Shem Mamzerim, Rabbi Yochanan said that those who married Gerim Shemolav Loitavlu are Mamzerim. Rabbi Yochanan Tameh, because Rabbi Yochanan is filing his opinion. Da'amar Rabbi Yochanan Olam Ein Ager. A ger is not considered a ger at Shiyima V'yitbol until he has Mila and Tfila. So therefore, since the Loi Tavol, these individuals do not have yet Tfila, Oivit Kechavim Hu, they're in the category of Akum. V'am Rabba B'Bachano Am Rabbi Yochanan. He is of the opinion that Oivit Kechavim V'Evet Abba Bas Yisrael is a Vlad Mamzer. For the record, we don't pass him that way. We pass him that an Akum that has relations with a Jewish woman is considered a Jew, and not a mamzer. Although, I saw a very interesting psak, actually this, the Ratvaz and Rabbi Yosef Engel and the Gulyone Ashas say. They discuss, why does a ger have to have both meal and tefillah? So they say the meal and tefillah accomplish two separate goals. The meal makes him no longer a goy. The tefillah makes him a Jew. And therefore they suggest that if you will have a person who had Mila, a guy who had Mila but didn't have Tefillah, you can no longer call him a guy because he already had the Mila. You can't call him a Jew either because he didn't have the Tefillah. And therefore, they suggest there's a new category. There's a guy, there's a Jew, and there's somebody in between. He had the Mila, took him out of the category of Akum, and not yet in the category of Yisrael. And therefore, the Chibina Rav, following up with what Ratvaz suggests, that I just said that if Akum is married to a Jewish woman, the halacha is the child is a full-fledged Jew. That's the halacha in Ebenezer. But that's where the father is a goy, a full-fledged goy. Because if the father is a full-fledged goy, there is no kedushin. The halacha doesn't recognize any marriage between the Jewish mother and the non-Jewish father. As far as the halacha is concerned, there's no father here. And therefore, the child only looks at his mother, and his mother's Jewish. But it could well be, says the Chibina Rav, it's worse when the father is like this half a Jew. Now we can't anymore say that we don't recognize the father, because the father isn't a pure Akum. And there, maybe that child should have a Geirus. Interesting psak from the Chibina Rav. There's an interesting medrash. The medrash says that after Avram Avinu came out of the fire in Ir Kasdim, the Malachim said the bracha that we say so many times every day, Magen Avraham. What's the connection of the bracha Magen Avraham to him coming out of the fire or Kazdim? So Sotah Mefarshim suggests a very interesting pshat. We're learning our Gemara that to become a ger you have to have Mila v'tfila. So Avraham Avinu had Mila. We know the Torah says he had Mila. But where do you have the tfila? Say the Mefarshim, when he went into the fire, because the Gemara says that a mikvah could be made out of water, out of fire. We just don't have mikvahs of water, fire because you can't come out of it live. Avraham Avinu went into a mikvah of fire. Now he was a Jew. So we say Magen Avraham. Another interesting pshat that I saw, Rashi says that Yochel v'nivruchu b'cha kol mishpachais adama parsing parashas lechlecha. So Rashi says Yochel kulam chaisman, that we say every day in Shemoneh Esrei Elkei Avraham Elkei Yitzchak Elkei Yaakov Yochel kulam chaisman b'cha chaisman v'loy behem. And that's indeed what we say. We say Baruch Ato Hashem Magen Avraham. We don't say Yitzchak and Yaakov. A very difficult Rashi. Very difficult Rashi to understand. Who are Yitzchak and Yaakov? Avraham Avinu's children. His son, his grandson. He has a problem with them being mentioned in the Shemoneh Esrei, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, I won't mention them. So the famous Pshat is B'chor Chaismim, that's going to come the end of days, before Mashiach. Torah will be very weak. Avoida, of course we won't have. We don't have a base of Mikdash. What will we have left that the world needs to exist? Gemilas Chasodim. B'chor Chaismim, Avraham was the Midas HaChesed, Chesel Avraham. At the end of the days, there'll be a proliferation of chesed in Klal Yisrael. But I saw another pshat. In the time of Avraham Avinu, everybody was a ger. He was the first Jew. Nobody had yichus. It'll come a time that there will be so many Jews in Klal Yisrael, there will be so many Jews in Klal Yisrael that will have a very weak yichus. Because their father might have been a goy. Nidus. All sorts of different halachic questions. Like it was in the time of Avraham Avinu. B'chor Chaismim, before Mashiach comes, that will be the yichus of Klal Yisrael. But then I saw one more interesting discussion. The Sridi Eish. Somebody asked the Sridi Eish the following question. Our Gemara speaks about a case of somebody who has milah without tefillah. Somebody wanted to become a ger, but he had diabetes and he had a heart condition. And the doctor told him he cannot have a bris. So the question that was asked to Rav Weinberg, Sridi Eish, is his geiris acceptable? And there's strong reason to assume that it is. Why? There are a number of rayas. I'll just mention two. Actually, we're going to learn a Gemara Masechta Krisis, that the Gemara says that there's another step required in the process of geiris, a carbon. So how does everybody become a ger nowadays? We don't have a carbon. So the Gemara says, since it's impossible to bring a carbon, we have gerim without kabonis. So maybe it's the same. If somebody can't have a meal, they'll have gerim without a meal. Furthermore, the halacha is a kohen who's an oral may not eat trumas and maestras. There's machloikas rishonim. If a kohen didn't have a meal, not because he didn't want to have a meal, because like our case, he's physically impossible to have a meal. May he eat trumas and maestras. May he eat matnas kuna. May he eat kachim. Some Rishonim say he's an oral. Others say no, he didn't have a milah because he couldn't have, and he's potter. So those are rayas that this person who can't have a milah, still, if he asked tefillah and he wanted to have a milah, it should be good enough. Says the Sridi Eish, you can't compare the two situations. Why? He says a goy. He says what does the milah accomplish? The pasuk says v'atas brisi tishma. The milah accomplishes a bris, a bond between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us. So somebody who's born a Jew already has that bris. He has to just complete the bris by the Maisa Mila. A guy who was born a guy doesn't have that bris. You can't just make believe you have that bris. He, by him, the Mila is essential, and if he can't have a Mila, he can't become a Jew. Continues the Gemara. The Gozal Yainim, Rav Yochanan said that their wine should be considered Yain Nesach. Going back to Gemara, we just learned yesterday. V'shem leich leich amin in the zar, the zir is chas chal lakam leich tikrif. Goy diluting wine, as we learned yesterday, is a question of kaychoy. It's a question that he may come to touch the wine in the wine barrel and therefore becomes asr. And he said, val tumas m'shem bishuli akum, that the beans should be considered bishul akum, v'fish ena b'nei Torah. Asked Gemara, tam deina b'nei Torah. Is the entire issue because they're not b'nei Torah? Ha b'nei Torah, if they were b'nei Torah, there would be no problem of bishul akum, it would be shari. Ask the Gemara, we learned earlier in our Masechta, v'olam shumur rav yitzchak amar rav, kol shenech k'mashu chai, any food that could be eaten raw, ain b'bishul akum, there's no problem bishul akum. And clearly, as we said earlier, these beans cannot be eaten raw, and therefore there should be a problem of bishul akum, says the Gemara. Rav Yochan k'ach lish nesir lei. Rav Yochan also learns, like we learned earlier, Damar Mishum of Yitzchak Amrav, Kol she'en al shulchan shemalachim, the lafas bas apas, anything that's not served at a banquet, ein b'mishum b'shula akum. So therefore, these turmasim, and this is the way Tosfos explained the Gemara back on Daf Lamed Ches, these turmasim, even though they're inedible raw, but they're not served at a banquet, and as Tosfos explained, we hold, and that's the way we pass from the Shulchan Aruch, that to be exempt from the problem of Bishlakim, it's either or. If it's something that can be eaten raw, or it's something that doesn't, that it's not eaten, that's not our Shulchan Malachim, there's no problem of Bishlakim. So here, although these are foods that are inedible raw, but they're also foods that ain't oil Shulchan Malachim, and therefore, technically, there should be no problem of Bishlakim. It's only because Tam Deina B'nai Torah, it's only because they're not B'nai Torah, that's why Rabbi Yochanan made a special gzeira that their turmasim should be considered bishul akum or b'nei Torah. If they were b'nei Torah, the halacha is shari that there's no problem bishul akum, as we explained. There's also a discussion here. It's very relevant la halacha. The Gemara says kol she'ena oil l'shuch malachim l'afas basapas. So we explain that to be considered a food that's subject to bishul akum, it has to be something served at a banquet. But the Gemara adds a few words. The laugh is supposed to pass. So let's say you'll have a food that is a very distinguished, a very nice dish. It's certainly served at a banquet, but it's not served as part of the meal. It's served as a dessert, so it's not part of the bread. So how do we understand the laugh is supposed to pass? Very big machlokes achronim. Some achronim suggest that if you'll have a very nice dessert, there's never a problem bishlakim, even if it's the most complicated, expensive, delicious dessert. Others say that lafas basa pas is not to be understood as limiting, and this is the way we paskin. And certainly if a food is a food that's cooked by an akum, even though it's not part of the meal that's eaten with the bread, there's still a problem of bishul akum. Continues the Gemara. Barmine Mrav Kahana. They asked the following question of Rav Kahana. Oyvik achovim ma'ash yerlich andovim l'gas. May a goy transport the grapes to the wine press. Interestingly, Rashi doesn't comment on this Gemara, how to understand the Gemara. Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand the issue that's being discussed, with very serious halachic ramifications. Some Rishonim explain that when they put the wine, when they put the grapes in these baskets, or nowadays if they put them into a truck, so the pressure of all the grapes, one on top of them, causes that juice should ooze out. The Gemara's question is that considered that the akum touched the juice? It's one way of understanding. Another way that Rishonim explain to understand is that Chazal perhaps made a gzeira that the akum should not be allowed to carry the grapes to the press, because if we're going to allow him to put the grapes into the press, he may come to put grapes that are ready after the hamshacha that we learned at the beginning of the sugya is certainly considered already juice. So as a gzeira, Chazal said he shouldn't carry the grapes to the press. A third way that the Rishonim explained the Gemara is that there's wine already in the press, and we're concerned that if the akum transports these grapes to the press, he may come to touch the wine that's ready in the press, which certainly is awesome. What is the nafkamina between these pshatim? There are a number of nafkaminas la'alocha. What would be the halocha if a goy is carrying these grapes, but he's carrying it, let's say, in the times of Chazal, in a wicker basket. So if there's any juice coming out because of the pressure of the grapes, one on the other, it just drips out. What would be that? So then, according to the concern, that's because of the juice that's on the grapes, there won't be any concern, because all that juice is going to waste. Or, if we follow the last pshat, that the concern is that if he's going to put the wine into the press, into the pit, he may come to touch the juice in the press. Let's say there is no juice in the press currently. Where he's dropping the grapes, there is no juice. Then there wouldn't be a problem. Or, what would be the halacha if he's not just taking grapes to the press, but he's taking other items to the press? If the concern is that if we're going to allow him to take things to the press, he may come to take other things to the press, so then nothing should be, that he may come to take juice to the press, then he should not be allowed to carry anything to the press because of that concern. And again, the reasons that we just gave have very serious halach ramifications. Amalahu, so he paskind, Mishumlei, awesome. A guy should not transport the grapes to the press. Shemlech lech, I'm reading the zero. Schar schar lekamlech sikrif. Again, all the reasons that we just gave, even if we don't consider it actual juice, but it's very similar. And as we've been learning in these sugyas, Chazal made these takonas to avoid any problem. Ask the Gemara, Eis mei Rav Yemel Rav Kahana. It says in a braisa, Oivik chavim sheiva anovim legas besalin. If the oivik chavim transported the grapes to the gas in baskets, over the dorm, different type of baskets, afa pisha yayim mezalaf aleihem, even if there's juice oozing out of these grapes, mutter. So clearly this price indicates that the goy may transport the grapes, amalei, to which he responded, hevi kamrit. This price is speaking about a case where the goy already brought it. So the halach is that that won't make it usur. And no, I was referring, I was saying l'chatchila akum should not transport it. It's interesting to point out that most Rishonim say on this Gemara that even though l'chatchila we're learning now for the various reasons that we explained in the name of the Rishonim that akum should not transport the grapes, it's only an issue if a Yisro doesn't participate with the akum. But most Rishonim are of the opinion that if Yisro participates with the akum in the transportation of the grapes to the press, there is no issue. Says the Gemara, Hu esrig de nafal chavita. There was an esrig that fell into a barrel, the chamra, into a barrel of wine. Idri of the chavim, a goy, it was, most Rishonim explained it was the goy's esrig, some say it doesn't make a difference. Vishakli, he quickly jumped to retrieve the esrig from the barrel of wine. Amul Ravashi, so Ravashi says, Nekduli yade, grab his hand, that he shouldn't agitate, he shouldn't move his hand around in the barrel. Why? And then while you're holding the Akum's hand, not letting him move, pour out, this is what most Rishonim learn, pour out the wine in the barrel, add the shayf that he could pick up his hand without touching the wine. Others say it doesn't mean spill out, because it's probably a little technically difficult, practically difficult to do it. Rather, put a spout by the barrel of wine, and all the wine will come out through that spout, and then the guy can lift his hand. Very big machlokes Rishonim, how to understand what happened in this Gemara, and what's the reasoning of this Pesach. Tosfos explains the Gemara this way. That of course, as we have been learning, when a guy touches wine, it certainly becomes tam yenom. But that's when a guy just puts his hands into a barrel of wine. Here what happened was, that the guy was trying to save his esrig. And since he was trying to save his esrig, we don't assume that he was trying to make his wine into avodah zarah. He's busy just trying to save his esrig. So while he's putting his hands in, it's not a problem. He's torahed. Tosfos wording. He's torahed. Once he already retrieved his esrig, he's not worried anymore. He got his esrig. That's when we have to stop being worried that he's going to make his wine into yayin nesach. And that's why we have to grab his hand. That's how Tosfos learns. Other Rishonim explain the Gemara differently. The Isser of an Akum is, as the Gemara says, is Shichshuch. It's not just that he touches the wine, that he agitates the wine, because that's the way, as we've been learning in our sugyas, the wine becomes Osur Favoyd Azara. So when we see that he just stuck his hand in to retrieve the Esrig, so he certainly didn't do any Shichshuch. And without Shichshuch, it's not Osur. However, if that's only till he retrieves it, once he retrieves it, now he may come back to do shichshuch. A third pshat I saw in the Rishonim is that the guy sees his esrig dropping into a barrel. He doesn't know what's in the barrel. He thinks that the barrel is full of oil. So therefore, when he sticks his hand in, he's not thinking about avodah zarah. It's a barrel of oil. But once he puts his hands into the barrel, so now he recognizes that the barrel is full of wine, now we have to start getting concerned. Actually, this machloikis Rishonim that I just quoted and how to understand the Gemara is relevant to another Machlokes Rishonim. Because the Gemara is saying that if this is what happened, that the guy stuck in his hand to save his esrig, as long as we make sure that he doesn't touch it afterwards, he doesn't move it afterwards, the wine remains mutter. What does it mean that the wine remains mutter? Is it mutter b'shtia? Well, b'shtia, it's not mutter, it's only mutter b'anoa. And again, the Mefarshim should connect these two Machlokes. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Ashi, Hai Oiv Kechovim, the Nasl Chamed Yisrael B'Kavonim. If an Akum is menasach a Jew's wine b'kavana. Afagav, del zvuni l'ayvikachirina osur, even though it's clearly osur to sell this wine to another akum, sharlei l'mishkul demei mehu ayvikachofim. He could give the wine, this is what Rishonim explained to Gemara, he could give the wine to the akum, and the akum will have to pay him for the value of the wine, even though it's yayin nesach, because he put his hands into it. So the machlokes Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Firstly, there's a very interesting Taisus, a very bechidish Taisus says. He says, let's say we have Akum that are well aware of Jewish law. So he knows that if he puts his hands into a barrel of Jewish wine, kosher wine, he's going to make that wine non-kosher. And he wants to specifically cause damage to Jew. And he puts his hands into a barrel of wine. Taisus says, a chidish nifla, Taisus says that wine doesn't become usur. He put his hands into the wine. His intention was just to cause a Jew damage. How do we understand Taisus? It's a very difficult Taisus to understand. So Mepharshim explained that Taisus is referring, it's already in his time, certainly in our times, that typically wine wasn't used. Sticking your hand and agitating your hand is not a way that they worship Avodah Zarah. So there is no concern of Avodah Zarah. His entire intent is just to cause a Jew damage, and therefore the wine doesn't become Asur. There are Rishonim that disagree with Taisus. There's also a shayla how far to take Taisus. Is it only b'hanamut or even b'shtiyah? Our Gemara is referring to a much worse situation, the Rishonim explained. Where the Akum, knowing what he's doing, takes a Jew's wine and he is menasach it, but he did it deliberately. And Chazal said that even though that wine is yayin nesach clearly, he was menasach the wine. Since he did it, this again, the way most Rishonim said, b'kavona, since he did it b'kavona, therefore, the Jew has a right to take back damages. The guy was mazakim. He intentionally caused him damage. That's the way we're going to learn the Gemara. Again, there is further discussion with Rishonim. Some Rishonim want to suggest that the Jew only could collect damages if the wine is only osam with Rabbanon. If it's osam with the Raisa, Chazal can't say that the Jew could take. Others say just the opposite. That it's only osam b'deraisa, where the Akum caused the Jew such significant damage that he has a right to collect, otherwise he has no right to collect. My tam, again, why does he have a right to collect? Mikla Kalia, the guy burnt, he destroyed, he was mazik, the wine of a Jew. Amar of Ashi Mino Aminala, from where do we see this concept that Akum does damage to a Jew? It's to be taken into consideration. The Tanya, the Braisa says, if a guy was menasach wine, but not in front of the Avodah Zarah, the halacha is asur. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seir Meteirim, they say that that wine doesn't become asur for two reasons. Mishum shnei dvarim. Echad shneim naskum yain ala b'fnei avodah kachavim. Take we consider that krivus that has to be in front of the Avodah Zarah. Ve'echad shayim ala loy kol kaminach. You don't have the right to test yain ala insi. So you see that the Jew has a right to make a claim, you have no right to damage me, and that concept is the concept why, even though wine is usur, the Jew has a right to tell the guy, you take the wine and pay me its value. This Gemara teaches us a very important concept, that takroivus avodah zarah only is in front of avodah kachavim, only if it's worshipped in front of the avodah zarah. I try to avoid controversial topics, but this is a relevant topic. There was a big question asked about the hair from India that's used to make the sheitlich, that's used to make the wigs, where there was a concern that hair is used as worship in India, because that's why the women grow their hair and cut their hair, and therefore that hair should be considered takrivus avodah zarah. And our Gemara is clearly teaching us that takrivus avodah zarah, we've learned in our sugis that the krivus avodah zarah is the highest level of avodah zarah, because even avodah zarah we learned a guy can be mevatel, but the krivus avodah zarah a guy can't be mevatel. So there were a number of aterim that were used. One is that perhaps the krivus avodah zarah is only something that's food. Anything that's not food doesn't fall into the category of the krivus avodah zarah. It's machloikus rishonim if what is the status of a non-food item as far as the krevus of avodah zarah. But this is also part of what they used as the heter. Because the Gemara here is teaching us that to be considered takrivus avodah zarah, it has to be something that's brought in front of the avodah zarah. And apparently, not that I'm an expert in this field in any way, apparently the way it works with the Indian women cutting their hair before they go to the temple, the hair is considered something tamei in their mind, and they're taking off the tumah from the hair, from the head, before they enter their temple. So specifically, the hair is not cut in the temple. The hair is cut outside of the temple. And our Gemara is saying that to be considered a krivus avodah zarah, it has to be b'fnei avodah chavim. Given that the hair is taken off outside, that's one of the reasons there were rabbanim that said that that hair is not in the category of the krivus avodah zarah. Again, I want to emphasize that the purpose of this discussion is not to pass the shayla. Everybody who has a shayla, we learned earlier in our shiur, b'nei tayra, a ben tayra, has to ask a shayla of his rav what to do with this question.